Morning, I guess. Even so, come Lord Jesus. End of the book, he said, surely I come quickly. Brother Ruckman said, I think he was kidding, don't you? I've been looking for him to come for 43 years and it hadn't been quickly, brother. But God's ways is not our ways. And one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So, but he's coming back. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is a great chapter. It tells the story of a calling out of a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 9, 1. We'll pick it up. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if any found of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound in Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonishing, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And it was 3 days without sight, neither did eat, neither drank. And you know, Saul was out breathing threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. And Saul of Tarsus was one of the greatest persecutors of the Christian faith that ever lived. You know, this was his conversion on the road to Damascus. And verse number 10 says this, And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. There's Brother Bunks, famous for behold, he prayeth. He preaches that all the time. And hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind and all that call upon thy name. And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he will suffer for my name's sake. And I want to bring your attention there this morning. Verse 10, And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. And I will preach a message this morning on a street, which is called Straight. We go down a lot of streets in our lives, our journey of life. We're going to go down a lot of them. And we're going to go down crooked streets. We're going to go down back alleys. We're going to try to take shortcuts in this life. We're going to take all kind of different streets through life. We're going to go down main street of the world too many times. We're going to go down the broad street. We go down many different streets in the way. But I will just say to you this morning, as a child of God, if you're going to do anything for the Lord, and I'm talking about really doing, I'm not talking about sitting in church or nothing. I'm talking about really doing something from God. I'm going to tell you this morning, you're going to have to go into the street called Straight. And when you go in that street called Straight, there's not a lot of wiggle room in it. The Bible said, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 over there one time, He said, Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many therein which go in therein. But He said, Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. I want to say that straight street is a narrow street. There's not a whole lot of wiggle room around it. And the men and women that God has used through the years from Ananias in Acts chapter 9, I'll tell you one thing about them. Somewhere along their lives, they had to go into the street, which is called Straight. And if God's going to use you, He's going to use me, He's going to use any of us, I'll tell you, we're going to have to walk where Ananias did, and we're going to have to go into that street, which is called Straight. And I will preach a little bit about the street called Straight. And He told Ananias, He said, I want you to go in the street called Straight. Notice, He didn't say, I want you to walk down the street called Straight. It wasn't a casual kind of deal. Okay, Ananias, arise and just walk down the street called Straight and check what's going on. That's not what He told him.
He said, Ananias, arise and go into the street. Listen, that street called straight, it'll consume you. You just don't casually walk into it. You don't just casually walk by it. It's something, if you go into it with God and God uses you, I want to tell you this morning, you're going to go into the street called straight. I just want to give you a few things out of that verses here this morning. I want to say the first thing, I want you to notice what it said in Acts chapter 9, verse number 10. It says this, and there was a certain disciple named Ananias. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and I want you to know there was a certain disciple. God had his eyes on Ananias. This wasn't a random deal. God just didn't go through Pearl Lake Baptist Church or go to Damascus. He didn't go, well, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Catch a tiger by his toe. If he hollers, make him pay. $50 every day. Out go, dirty dish, wreck you. He didn't do that. God had a certain disciple there, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and God had his hand upon him. And I want to say this morning, that God is searching for a certain disciple. There was a certain disciple God had his hand on him. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30, we all know it. It says, and God sought for a man to stand in the gap. I believe that God is searching today for those certain disciples that will walk and go into the street, which is called straight. Think about Ananias. Ananias wasn't a major character in the Bible. The only place that Ananias is mentioned is here in Acts chapter 9. And take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 22. He's mentioned in Acts chapter 9 right here. I don't find any place in the Bible, Brother Al, where Ananias ever preached the sermon. I don't find any place in the Bible, Miss Rachel, where he ever sung a song. I don't find any place in the Bible where ever wrote a book. I don't find anything in the Bible where he did anything what we'd call great. He had no skills, no talent, or anything. But he was a certain disciple that God had his hands on. You know what? God's interested in me and you. God is interested in me and you. God is searching for that certain disciple. They didn't get him to go into the street, which is called straight. Look at Acts chapter 22, what it says about this man. These are the only two times he's mentioned. Paul's giving his testimony in Acts chapter 22, and he's talking a little bit about Ananias. Acts chapter 22, verse 11 says this. Paul said this, and I could not see for the glory of the light, but I led by the hand of them that were with me, and I came to Damascus, and there was one Ananias. The Bible says this about him, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there. I want to say that thing about Ananias. The Bible said he was a devout man according to the law. You know what the law is? The Word of God. You know what Ananias was? You know when God looked for a certain disciple to go in the street called straight? He looked for a man that spent time in this book, Brother Don. He meant a man that was devoted to the Word of God. And I preach it over here and over and over and over and over and over in this church. If you're not going to read your Bible, if you're not going to pray, if you're not going to tithe, if you're not going to do the basics of God, you might as well just give up. It's not going to happen. You've got to get in this book. He didn't preach, didn't have nothing major, but the Bible, when God put his hands, he said he was a devout man in the Word of God. The Bible said he had a good report. He had a good testimony of all the Jews. I want to say, first of all, about this street called straight, God looked for a certain disciple named Ananias. God is looking for a certain disciple to walk and go in the street called straight. Here's a certain disciple. I want you to notice something else about our text. Number one, there's a certain disciple. Number two, there's something else there in Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. I want to say the second thing about here, there's the calling of Ananias. Ananias didn't have any great characteristics that we know of. Outside of he was a man of the Word of God. He was faithful to the Word of God. He had a testimony among the Jews. And the God called Ananias. Called him by his name. He said, Ananias. And he said, hey, behold, here am I, Lord. You know what God would do? God will call that man that's devout in the Word of God. Take your Bible, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, get Acts chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to say this morning, if your God's going to ever use you, you're going to have to go, like Ananias, into that street, which is called Straight. And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And there's his calling. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. I like this. Ananias didn't have a whole lot of characteristics of God, a whole lot of abilities that we know of. But the one thing he was about in the Word of God, and he was available and faithful to the Lord. And it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, But God hath chosen the food. Look at verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. For you see your calling, brother. See a calling, brother. Now that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. I want to say this morning that Ananias had the calling in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There wasn't a whole lot to impress this man. He wasn't a mighty man. He wasn't a noble man. But he was a certain disciple at Damascus that God had called. Do you realize this morning? The first men that God called in the New Testament, you know what they were? They were commercial fishermen. He came to Peter and John over there in Matthew chapter 2, I believe it is, in Mark chapter 1. He walked over to Simon Peter and they were mending their nets, and he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And immediately left their net. And he goes over to James and Andrew, all these men that he called the first ones. You know what they were? They were commercial fishermen. You ever seen a commercial fisherman? You ever watch that show, Deadliest Catch? Let's be honest, brethren. That is not the cream of the crop. I mean, there they are walking around about three of their teeth missing. They're about 30 years old. They look like they're 80. I mean, they're a rough bunch. And when Jesus Christ came to this earth and He called the first people to follow Him, the first people that ever served Him, you know what they were? They were the rough and tough commercial fishermen. See your calling, brother. Not many mighty, not many able. That's what Ananias, he was just a devout man in the Word of God, and God called him. He said, I want you to go on the street. Call straight. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. About those commercial fishermen. There's the calling of Ananias. There's the calling of Ananias. There's a certain disciple that God called, and there was his calling. Not many mighty, not many noble. First one God called were these fishermen. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. I love this. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 talks about Peter and John here. They're over here preaching. Peter and John, they're commercial fishermen. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says this. They're watching them preach. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were educated and cultured men, is that what it said? Said that they were seed, they were what? They were unlearned and ignorant men. And marveled and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. You know what the Bible said about these men? These people looked at them and said, hey, look at these dummies over here, these unlearned and ignorant men. Good night what they're doing out here, man, preaching the gospel. In Acts chapter 17, it says about those unlearned and ignorant men, it said they turned the world upside down. I like what Brother Bunk called them a couple of weeks ago. They're dirty dozen. That's what they were. They were God's dirty dozen. He took 12 men, a lot of them unlearned and ignorant men, and turned the world up. There's the calling of Ananias. There's that calling that God has in his life. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, Romans chapter 8. 2 Timothy 1, Romans chapter 8. You know what I believe today? I believe God is still calling people. I believe God is still calling men and women and young people to serve Him. I believe the same God that called Ananias, the same God that called Peter and John, the same God that met Paul on the road to Damascus and called him, I believe that same God is alive today and calling people to His service. I believe that. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, "Who hath saved us?" Are you saved? Say amen. You saved this morning? Amen. Wake up. Are you saved this morning? Amen. Come on. It said, "Who hath saved us?" Look at verse chapter 1, 9. "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling." Not according to our works. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about my job. It's not about my pride. It's not about my politics. It's not about any of that. That has nothing to do with it. But according to His own purpose and grace. You know what God calls you and I? For His purpose and grace to serve Him. Not our works. Not the things we do down here. Look at Romans chapter 8. There's Ananias. He was a certain disciple. There was his calling. God called him. I believe God's still calling people. I believe God is still calling them. Romans chapter 8. We all know this verse. But you know, we look at these verses, we don't realize what it says a lot of times. Romans chapter 8 verse 28, we know all these verses. Says this, Romans 8, 28 says this, "And we know. And we know that all things work together for good." Watch it. "To them that love God, to them who are the what? Called. According to His purpose." The only way in the world a lot of Christians just flippantly throw that, say, "Well, everything works together for good." No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. That thing said everything works together for good to them who are called. Are you called according to His purpose? Are you living for God? Are you doing the things you're supposed to do for God? Are you just living for yourself? Listen, brother, that's when it works together for good.
Amen.
Are you tithing? Are you reading your Bible? Are you doing the things you know to do? If you're not, brother, that verse don't even apply to you. Brother Chris preached on that verse a while back. And he said on that thing, those two words, most important two words in that verse, you know what they are? His purpose. If you're not called to His purpose, forget that verse. It won't work. Those things in life, brother, look at the next verse. Verse 29. "For whom He did foreknow." God knew who was going to get saved. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate." Predestination never come before foreknowledge. "That He conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren." Watch it. "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified." I want to say there is a calling in Ananias. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10, it said, "Wherefore, brethren, make sure, be diligent to make your calling and your election sure, so that you fail not." Brother, I want to make sure my calling is sure. Say, "Well, preacher, I can't preach. I can't sing. I can't do all these things." Listen, God can call you to be faithful, can He? This church. God can call you to be faithful. He can call you to pray, can He? I mean, I shouldn't have to preach. He can call you to read the Word of God. I mean, those things you shouldn't have to preach about.
Amen.
They're simple. Just basics. You can do that. You know what it says in Matthew 22? "For many are called." For many are called. I believe God calls many. But that verse, you know what it says, Brother Chris? "But few are chosen." You know why? Because they will not obey God. They will not obey. Some of you still resisting the Lord. You're still fighting God the things you know to do. And you still argue with Him. And until you get to that place, you say, "Not my will, but thine be done, brother." God will not be able to use you like He could. There's no way. No way. See, I can't do some of the things. You can pray, you can tithe, you can support this church, you can be faithful, you can get out and pass out a gospel tract. Anybody can do that, man. You can take a few get out of hell free cars and go out and give them that at Walmart. You can do things like it. Everybody do that. There's the calling. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 17 says this. "But God hath distributed every man." All of us are different. "But God hath to distribute every man as the Lord hath called every one." If you've been saved, God has put a calling on your life. Now what you do with it, totally up to you. That's what it says. "That God hath called every one, so let him walk. And so ordain I," he said, "in all the churches." That's what he's preaching to the churches. I want to say there's a calling. There's a calling. There's a certain disciple. And I want to say this morning, if God calls you, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to go into the street, which is called straight. Just like Ananias. Ananias, arise. Arise and go inquire of the house of Judas for one named Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hands upon him that he may receive his sight. And that's what God told Ananias, to go in there. The command he gave him is this, to go into the greatest persecutor of the Christian faith, the man that was killing people. He said, I want you to go in there and put your hands upon him. You know, Ananias said, Lord, hold on a second. I've heard many things of this man, Lord. How much evil he hath done at thy saints in Jerusalem, and here he'd been given authority by the chief priest to bind all those that call upon thy name. There was a command he gave him. You know, sometimes a command and a calling to God, in fact, most of the time, I want to tell you this morning, they're not easy. They're very difficult sometimes. But the Lord commands us to do things that you and I can't understand. The things in the flesh that rebels against the flesh. The things that you and I can't understand. Can you imagine? I thought about this message. Can you imagine, Brother Chris, when God called a little Humpty Dumpty of a little man, Miss Rachel, that had 14 heart stents, about that big, and called him, Miss Martha, and said, hey, I want you to go to the Mongolia desert and I want you to be a missionary to the lepers. I can imagine Brother Tommy thinking the first time, hey Lord, send me to Germany or Ireland, send me to China, send me to Russia. I don't want to go out to the desert out there in the dead, dry desert and to a bunch of lepers. Sometimes the calling and the commands of God are beyond our understanding. And look at the work that man's done. My soul. He's been out there the last 50 years. He's built hospitals. They got the only abortion clinics in Asia right now. Anti-abortion clinics out there. And what God has done. There's the commands of God. Can you imagine? There's Daniel one day, Brother Chris, having to step into the den of lions. Can you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Brother Al, stepping into a fiery burning furnace? Can you imagine little David, about 13 years old, standing out with a slingshot, getting ready to fight a giant that was about 13 feet tall? Sometimes the commands and the callings of God, brother, we can't understand, and they're beyond our scope. You know what you have to do a lot of times? You just have to close the eyes of flesh and open the spiritual eyes. Not my will, but thine be done. Over Gideon, over there in Judges, chapter 7 one time, had an old man, 22,000 or 30,000. And those Israel, those Jews getting ready to go to battle against the Midianites and Amalekites. And the Bible said the number of those Midianites and Amalekites, there were so many of them, Miss Liz, the Bible said, they were more than the sand of the sea. That's, they were thousands and thousands. And all they had was 30,000. And God told Gideon, he said, well, tell the ones that are fearful and afraid and don't want to go, let them leave. 22,000 leaves. They said, we're not going. And he said, maybe that's too many. He told them, go down there and put some water, and I'll tell you which ones. And the ones that lapped like a dog, 300 got through. And Gideon took those 300 men. And the Lord said, okay, these are the ones going to battle. And Gideon said, Lord, what are we going to battle with? We don't have no swords. They didn't have any swords. Iron was forbidden for the Jews in those days. God said, take that trumpet in your hand. Take that lamp in your hand. And that trumpet's going to be your sword. And he went 300 men, Brother Al, the thousands, hundreds of thousands of Amalekites and Midianites. Sometimes the commandments of God we don't understand. Sometimes those callings are beyond our scope. There was Abraham, Genesis chapter 22:1. And it said, he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, take thine son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him up to a burnt offering for me up there in the mount Moriah. Boy, I couldn't have done that. Sometimes the callings of God, they're hard to believe. That day when God called Ananias, he said, Ananias! He said, Lord, here am I. He said, I want you to rise. Arise and go to that street called Straight. And into the house of a man named Judas, there's one called Saul of Tarsus. Behold, he prayeth. And he seen in a vision a man, Ananias, coming in, putting his hands on to receive his sight. And Ananias said, hold on, Lord. Wait a second. I've heard many of the evil of this man and what he's done to saints in Jerusalem. And he's here now, God, with authority from the chief priest to bind and put in prison all those that believe in thy name. There was that commandment. I want to tell you, sometimes God put things on your heart, get you to do things. You know what I found out a long time ago? Fruit don't grow in the trunks. Too many Christians want to hang around the trunk, hang around the church. That's the trunk. They want to just hang around. I want to tell you, friend, no fruit will grow on the trunk. The fruit goes out on the limb. If you're going to serve God, you got to go in the street called Straight. You got to go out on the limb where the fruit is. Sometimes God will reach over and He'll chop that limb off. God will put you in a situation, brethren, that's hard to comprehend. My cousin David, he pastored a little church up here at Steele for a while. We helped him for a while. He's a good preacher too. He's a good guy, Brother David. He and I roomed in Bible school. I love Brother David. Brother David was at work one day, Brother Chris, and he worked for a big company and had a class there in his company, Brother Alonzo. And he said there was about 50 people in the class. And they had a class about something, you know. And you know how you've ever been to them classes? A lot of times the teachers say, how about stand up and give us your name and tell us a little bit about yourself? You know how they do. And you know, a girl stands up, you know, and says, yeah, my name's Patty Smith. I got 3 children and a beautiful husband. And I love to quilt. You know, they'll say, yeah, my name's Billy Bob. Yeah, I'm a Roll Tide fan. Yeah, and I like hunting fish. Had to come down there to Brother David. And the Lord said to Brother David, he said, hey, how about you stand up and give them a word of testimony? Lord, ever done that to you? How's that calling? How's that command? Go into the street called Straight, he told him. Said, Brother David, I want you to walk in that street called Straight. I want you to stand up in front of all these folks and give them a little word of testimony. And Brother David said, Lord, this is not the time. This is not the place, Lord. Lord, you don't understand. And the Lord said, you're not ashamed of me, are you? He said, no, Lord, you know I'm not ashamed. And David said, hey, Lord, I tell you what, when I get through, I'll walk around and give them a track and talk to them about the Lord. And the Lord said, I want you to stand up and just give them a little word of testimony. Sometimes God will call you and command your thing, brother, and put you out on that limb, and you reach over and saw it right off. Came to Brother David. Brother David said, it got to him. He just stood up and said, yes, my name is David Watkins. I'm a Christian and I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, I love Him and I'm looking for the glorious appearing of the great God, the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope you're saved this morning. And he sat down. And he said, every eye in there looked at him. And he said, the teacher said, okay, who's next? Brother David said, I just made the biggest fool out of myself. Sometimes God wants to make a fool out of you, know it? When David got through, David said some Christians came up to him afterward and said, brother, thank you for that testimony. He said, one guy came up to him with tears in his eyes. He said, brother, I'm saved. But I'm backslidden with God. Would you pray for me that God, that I could get right with God? You never know. There's that call and there's that command that God will put in your life. Sometimes God will put you out on a limb. He'll put you in places, brother. Sometimes you just don't understand. You know what I found out? It's easy to surrender to the call of God when He hadn't called you. That's easy. I mean, it's easy to sit in this church and a missionary comes through and I've had a few of them do it and they're talking about China and say, yeah, buddy boy, I'd get over there. Lord, I'd go to China. It's easy to say that, isn't it? But it's a lot harder to say, hey, Lord, I'd go down on the street corner and hold up a sign. When you don't have to do it, there's no chance of it ever happening, Brother Al. It's easy to surrender, isn't it? I surrendered to China 100 times. You say, why? I knew I wasn't going. I surrendered to Russia. Say, why? I knew I wasn't going. It's easy. And the Lord said, well, you're just kidding me, is all you're doing. He knows I'm just playing with him. I'm reminded of that old black man one time, Brother Chris. He was a bricklayer. And he was working out there in the brick, and it was about like it's been here lately. It was hot as everything. And man, he's just sweating. It's about 100 degrees, and the humidity about 110. Old black man, he's putting on those bricks and laying them down there. He sits back here, and he's so tired, and he's sweating like me this morning. And he's wiping his face, and he said, Lord, Lord, you know that I'm so tired I could die. About that time, somebody's laying a brick, and the brick falls, and pops him on the head, knocks him down. He gets up and he said, no, Lord, you know that I'm just kidding now. Too many times when we promise God and we do, you know what he says? Hey, I know you just kidding me. I remember I got right with the Lord. I got saved and gotten away from the Lord for a few years there, about 2 years after I got saved. And I told you about that. And Brother Linton Smith gave Charlie Andrews and Greg Gibson a little note. I still got it in one of my Bibles. I said, I want you to go by and see this guy. His name's Terry Watkins. Gave the address that he's saved, but he's backslidden, running from the Lord. And I was. But before Charlie and them, they came over to my house one night. But before they came, Brother Al, I'd gotten right with God. And son, I was pumped up. And I read old John Wesley's Journal of John Wesley. That's one of the greatest books you ever read. And old John Wesley, he got preaching in the 1700s. And it was during like it is now. The churches had gotten cold and dead like they are now. And no church in heaven, John Wesley. He'd preach in a church and he'd say in his diary, they asked me not to come back there anymore. And he'd preach and he'd say, and they stopped me in the middle of the service and told me to leave. And he made this famous statement. He said, the world is my pulpit. So John Wesley began preaching on the street. That became his ministry. And he'd preach to 40,000 people. And he'd get out there and I'd read that journal and I'd go, yeah! I'd go, yeah, man, Lord, that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to get out there and preach on the street. Hallelujah, God, let me go. Because I didn't think anybody ever did it. Oh, man, nobody does that, so I'm safe. I'm safe to volunteer for that deal, see. Yeah, Lord, yeah, I'd love to get out there and preach on the street, God. Yeah, just send me, God, here I am. Because I didn't think I'd ever go. Well, old Charlie Andrews and Greg Gibson come by my house that day to see me. We got talking, and man, we just fell in love with each other. Brother Charlie became one of my best friends, him and Brother Greg, and started going to their church, Grace Baptist. We got talking, you know. And man, I was hugging them, and man, I was just so glad to see a man, everything, and just so pumped up. And they're getting ready to go, and I said, where are you guys going? They say, we're going downtown to do some street preaching. You want to go? And the Lord says, see you there. I said, now, wait a minute, Lord. Hold on. Lord, this wasn't part of the deal now. So what did you do? I went with them. I sat in the back there praying, twiddling my thumb, thinking, what in the world are we going to do? What's this going to be like? And we went downtown. And that was when, back in those days, that was in the early 80s, in the 70s, end of the 70s, actually. And we went down there. And we'd stand on there, they had a newspaper stand about this high. There's no way I could get on that thing now. But you'd stand on top of the newspaper stand. It was made of bricks. Where they put the newspaper, and it was where Newberry's and had all the bus stops, and there's a couple hundred people there. It's when everybody go downtown, and you'd stand on top of that newspaper stand, and just as loud as you could, you go, hey, the Bible says! And son, you could hear that thing 2 miles away echoing across those buildings. Man, I'll never forget the first time I went there, Brother Ben, and I've been praying the Lord, and yeah, Lord, I'll go. And boy, I remember Greg Gibson was the first one that climbed up there, and old Greg Gibson climbed in that thing and started screaming out and preaching. I thought, Lord, have mercy. What in the world have I gotten myself into today? Kind of like Brother Chris, see. That time he came out there to Trustful. Brother Josh got him to come street preaching. And Brother Chris said, well, I'll call. But he said, I'll hold a few signs. I'm not going to do none of that preaching now. He was out there about 5 minutes. in the shower there, and he is running up and down with that missile, shooting them out. I mean, brother, we couldn't get him off the thing to let somebody else have a turn. I tell you what, will you just surrender to the call of God? The Bible's faithful is he that has called you. He will also do it. There's the call. There's the commandment. Let me give you something else. There's the confrontation. You know what Ananias did? He said, "Hey, wait a minute, Lord. I've heard many things about this man. How much he will be done about your saints in Jerusalem." You know what we do with the Lord a lot of times? We can argue with him. And we confront him. If we quit arguing with God and quit making excuses and quit confronting him and just submit to God, we could get something done. But we spend so much time trying to find out what we can do rather than just saying, "God, I'll do it." We quit before we get started. There was Ananias. God calls him. He said, "Lord, hey, Lord, I don't think you understand what you're asking me. This guy, I've heard by many the evil he's done in Jerusalem, and he's here with authority from the chief priest to take me to jail." You know what he did? There's that confrontation with the Lord. You know what? We do the same thing many times, don't we? Many times. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 7, turn to Exodus chapter 3. This is good. Turn to Acts chapter 7, Exodus chapter 3. Acts chapter 7. You know what? Sometimes God calls us. You know what we do? We'll surrender. Yeah. We're ready to go. Yeah. And then when God calls us, you know what we start doing? We start crawfishing and confronting God. Who? Me, Lord? Me? Look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, here's a man named Moses. Acts chapter 7 verse 20 says this. Acts chapter 7 verse 20. "At which time Moses was born, was exceeding fair, nursed up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nursed him in her own son. And Moses was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians." Look at it. "He was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds." The guy was a good speaker. He is mighty in words and deeds. "And when he was full of 40 years old," he's 40 years old now, watch it, "it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him, was oppressed and smote the Egyptian," watch it, "and for he supposed," watch this, "his brethren," talking about the Jews, "would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver him, but they understood not." You know what Moses said? He's 40 years old. And he killed that Egyptian there. Remember that? And he said, "I thought they would have understood that God had chosen me. I was the one that God called and chose me to deliver Israel." He is 40 years old. He said, "I'm the right one. I'm the one God chose. I surrender to me." Look at the next verse. Acts chapter 7. Verse 30. "And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai." 40 years later now. Fast forward, he's 40 years later. He said, "Hey, I'm the one God called. It's me." Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. There's a call and there's a command. You know what there is? There's a confrontation. You know what a lot of times we do? We do like Moses. You know what Moses is about to do? He's going about to crawfish and try to get out of it now. It's easy to surrender when God hadn't called you. Just like Moses. When Moses was in the flesh, he said, "Yeah, man, y'all don't understand, God called me." But when God actually called him, it was a whole different ballgame. Just like Ananias. And let me tell you, if God used you, you're going to have to go into the street called straight. Just like Ananias. Just like Moses did. Look at Exodus chapter 3 verse 1. "Moses kept the flock of his father Jethro in a law." Come down, we'll. Verse 2, "An angel of the Lord appeared in him in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush." You know what's going on, the burning bush. "And behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, wherein the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned not aside, said, God called him out of the midst of the bush. And Moses said, Hey! Here am I, Lord." God called him. He said, here am I, God. Remember, he's the one God was going to use to deliver. Let's go down to verse number 10. Exodus 3:10. Come now, therefore. And the Lord talking to him. He said, I'll send thee into Pharaoh that thou mayest bring forth my children, the people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel? Hey, wasn't he the same one over there in the other verse that said, hey, Moses said, here am I, Lord. When God calls him, you know what he says? Lord, me? You want me to do it, Lord? Who am I, Lord? Who am I that I can go into Pharaoh and say, hey, let the people go? Me, Lord? Started crawfishing a little bit, didn't he? Hey, he was a guy that was going to deliver him, remember? And look at verse 12. And the Lord said to him, certainly. God said, calm down. Cool that dude. Certainly. Certainly I'll be with you now. Cool it. I'm not seeing you out on own. Certainly. I like that word. Certainly I'll go with you. I'll be with you. And verse 13. And Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, they say, the God of your father that sent me. What am I going to say? Lord, they're going to say, who sent you? What am I going to say, Lord? What are you trying to do? He's trying to get out of the deal, isn't he, Brother Al? He's trying to crawfish out. Remember, Moses said, hey, they didn't understand. I was the one that's supposed to deliver them. It's easy when God don't call you. But brother, when God actually puts his hands on you and deals with you, you know what? We start crawfishing. Go to Exodus chapter 4, look again. Exodus chapter 4, 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they won't believe me nor hearken to my voice. They'll say the Lord hath not appeared over and over and over. Moses keeps trying to crawfish out. Come down to verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh my God, I'm not eloquent. Remember what it said in Acts chapter 7? It said he was learning all the wisdom of the Egyptian. He was mighty in words and deeds. That boy could speak good. But when God called me, he said, Lord, I'm not eloquent. Can't speak. Not what it said in Acts chapter 7. You know, when God started calling people, you know what they start doing? They start crawfishing, confronting the Lord. That's what old Moses did. And God told him, he said, verse number, next verse over there. God said, hey, I'll be with you. Who made man's mouth? Who's dumb? And Moses still kept trying to crawfish. And the Lord said, hey, look, Moses, I'll send Aaron to help you. What he kept doing, he kept trying to confront and get away from us. Too many times God calls us. And you know what? Just like Ananias, say, Lord, I've heard many the evil this man has done. I've heard that he's over here now with the chief priest's authority to bind all those that believe on him. God said, go into that street called Straight. God's going to use you. I got news for you. You know what? You're going to have to go in that street called Straight. And there's a calling. There's a command. There may be a confrontation. I could take you through all of your Bible. So many of them. I got a good friend of mine, Larry Theros. You know Brother Larry, Brother Al. Now he's a man, brother. He's a man. Brother Larry Theros, he has a missionary to Greece for years. Then he has a missionary to Canada. He's back in the United States. He and I, about 30 years ago, that was when Walmart had Walmart over in Huffman in the parking lot there. I had a little pastor, a little church back in. And I'd get some of the folks there, and we'd go out there and pass out tracts. And we had a big old Chevy Astro van back in, Brother Al. And those things, they're like a tank, you know. Man, they're built like a tank. They're not like these flimsy things you got now. Me and Brother Theros, he was about 250. I was about 200 at the time. And we'd get on that van, middle of the parking lot there at Walmart. We'd park it in the middle. And some of the church folks, they'd go pass around tracts, talk to people about the Lord. And me and Brother Larry, we'd stand on top of that old van and preach in the parking lot. Says, and man, it was good. Brother Theros, he's a man. A while back, about 2 years ago, he had a massive heart attack. His widowmaker was 99% blocked. 99%. He had five bypasses. And I talked to Brother Theros after. And Brother Theros, when he had that heart attack, Miss Janet, he was preaching in Arkansas, preaching a mission conference. And he had a heart attack. He said, it was the worst pain I ever had in my life. And you know what that old boy did, Brother Al? He stayed and just kept preaching with that heart attack going on. And he told me, he said, I thought for sure I'd die. He said, I didn't think there's any way I'd survive, but he said, I wasn't going to leave that mission conference preaching for the Lord. I was just going to die right there. Well, he made it back to UAB, and they said, they couldn't believe he was still alive. He said, that was the worst pain. He said, his chest, his heart was coming out of his chest. He said, I knew I was going to die. I knew it was over. But he stayed preaching. He's a man. When I was in PBI and in our Bible school, as a place we used to go fish a lot, it's called Alabama Point. And it was jetties there, Brother Al, and had jetties. It was rocks that go out in the water about a half a mile. And you'd have to walk on those rocks to get there. And when you get out there, it's out there, and those big old redfish would run through. And those redfish would be 20 and 30 pounds, and they were huge. When they'd come through, man, they'd just come through by the thousands. And what happened, people would go out there, and they'd sit on those rocks and just wait for those redfish to come through. And they'd throw their rods out there. I've been a couple of times. I didn't care. It's too much work walking on that thing for me. But then you go out there, and you sit there, you find your rock, and you sit on it, and every rock would have somebody, one or two people on it. And a lot of them, during that time, you'd be squished like this, and there'd be a rock right there and a rock right there, and you'd have your rod out, have a pinfish on it waiting for those redfish, and there were hundreds of rod and reels literally all over the place, and you'd see all kind of people. You'd see people of the baser sort, as the Bible says. Back in those days was Vietnam boat folks coming over when I was down there. And you see a lot of those folks. You see a lot of just rough cats out there trying to catch their food. And you're all just sitting out there. And a lot of them out there smoking dope. A lot of them out there drinking and cursing. And I mean, there's so much dope being smoked, you're getting high off the fumes. I mean, it's a wild bunch. Brother Larry Theos, he'd like to go out there and fish a lot and catch him more redfish. Brother Larry, I heard him preaching about this, Brother Al, one time. He said he's out there fishing one night at Alabama Point, and all them hellions are out there, and he's sitting there on his little rock, and the Lord said, hey, how about stand up and give him a word of testimony? He said, Lord, you got to be kidding. Lord, if I was to stand up with these hellions out here, they'd cut me up and use me for fishing bait, Lord. I ain't going to do that, Lord. And he said, the Lord said, hey, you're not ashamed of me, are you? You don't want to take care of me. He said, Lord, you know I'm not ashamed. You know I love you. He said, well, stand up and give him a word of testimony. He said, Lord, if I do, it's all over. And he said he argued with the Lord a little bit. And probably he just stood up, Brother Larry. You have to know, Brother Larry, he's a pretty big guy anyway. He's pretty blunt guy the way he talks anyway, and this is what he said. I remember what he said. He stood up and said, hey, if you hellions would quit cursing God and using God's name in vain, and some of you get saved and pray, maybe God will let us catch some fish. And he sat down. And he said, when he sat down, he said, all them beady eyes looked toward him. And he said, a few of them started to get up. And he said, about that time, this is the truth, I'm telling you the truth, I'm not just preaching. He said, about that time, buzz, 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 every one of those rod and reels, buzz, 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 them redfish come through. He is saved by the redfish. Said he got through fishing, Brother Al, went and cleaned his fish, filleted his fish, putting his fish in his car, getting ready to go. He said, here he come. He saw him in the corner of his eyes. He said, he's coming across the parking lot. He said, here he come. Right toward him. And he said, this guy had big old matted hair, had a big old beard. He didn't have much of a face left. He's just all covered in hair. Big old huge guy just running toward him as fast as he could. And Brother Theros said, here he comes. This is it. This is it. And Brother Theros had his old Rapala fillet knife. Y'all ever seen one of those? That's a bad knife, brother. That'll cut you up. And Brother Theros said that fella came to him and come right to him and said, hey, You were the one that said something out there, wouldn't you? You were that one that stood up, weren't you? Brother Theros said, he poured out that filet knife so he could see it. He said, yep, I was that one. And he said, that guy began to cry. And he said, I need to get saved. He said, I'm going to hell and I need to get saved. You know what we do? We confront God so much sometimes. There was that calling he had. There was that confrontation. There was that command. I'm going to give you one more real quick thing about that thing. And there was a chosen. You know what God told Ananias? And I could give you many, many, many tonight. God told Ananias over there, when Ananias had been confronting the Lord, he said, Lord, you don't understand about this guy. He's a bad dude, God. He's going to take me to prison. And the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. You know what's at the end of that street called Straight? You know when Ananias went to that street called Straight to the house of a man named Judas for a man named Saul of Tarsus? You know what there was? The greatest Christian that ever lived. There was the chosen. See, you just don't know sometimes. We just need to go into the street called Straight. And if God's ever going to use you, my friend, and I mean really use you, you're just going to have to close your eyes to the flesh and the physical eyes and spiritually say, okay, Lord, I'm ready to go in that street called Straight. Because there's a chosen vessel sitting there. There's that man God took, the greatest persecutor of the Christian faith. Ananias had no idea that the man he was going to go in there and put his hands on and open up his eyes, that man would write 13 books of the New Testament. He had no idea that man would open up the mysteries of God and the grace of God. He had no idea that man would be the apostle to the Gentiles and the greatest Christian that ever lived. But God knew it. God said, hey, he's a chosen vessel. I think of Mike Ragland. Mike Ragland, a friend of mine, he pastors a little church, or used to out in Warrior. He's got a camp now, Tri-City Camp. Mike Ragland was out visiting, doing door knocking one night, Thursday night, June the 5th, 1980. He was over June the 5th, 1980, and I believe it was Midfield. And he's going around just canvassing, knocking on doors. And he went to a house and there was a young man out in the yard. This young man was 23 years old. He was 23 years old. He'd been shooting up heroin since he was 16 years old. His life was shot. He'd been in and out of prison. He'd been in and out of jail. He had all kinds of disease. He'd been in and out of hospital. He'd been in and out of rehab. Three times he OD'd, nearly died. And here he is, this old heroin addict, standing there waiting for a ride. And Mike Ragland goes up to that old heroin addict and tells him about the grace of God, tells him about how Jesus loved him and died on the cross and shed his blood, and how that Jesus could give him a new life and victory over that sin. And how in the world did Mike Ragland would have known that when that old heroin addict bowed his eyes, standing there by a tree, about 6:40 one Thursday night, January the 5th, 1980, that he'd be leading to the Lord one of the greatest preachers ever come out of Birmingham. His name was Stan Scott. You see down that street called Straight, Brother Al, you know what's down there? There's a chosen one that God said. Oh, Ananias said, I can't go down there, Lord. I know about that guy. And God said, hey, I got one chosen. Brother Magdalene writes and said, hey, Lord, this is an old dope head, a heroin addict, a mainline. God, what can he do? God said, I've chosen him. One of my chosen. You know what's down the street called Straight? There's some chosen ones. I think of a man named J.C. Wright one Thursday night about 42 years ago. We just knocking on doors. Boy, he's from Hunter Street Baptist Church, going around knocking on doors. He went walking on, knocking on some doors on Green Acres. Walked up to a house here, had a bunch of chopper motorcycles in the front yard, had a law biker's house, knocked on the front door one Thursday night about 7:30. And the man come on the door, said, I'm Honey Street Baptist Church, J.C. Wright, I'm out visiting folks. And that old outlaw biker, and they're drinking beer, smoking dope, hellions. He said, well, come on in. J.C. Wright went in there, walked in that street called Straight. When that night, talked to a little outlaw biker, Brother Ben, was talking to him, told him about the greatest story ever told. Told him about somebody that loved him so much, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And that night by the coffee table, one of the greatest soldiers ever come out of Birmingham, Alabama, got on his knees and prayed, asked Jesus to save him. You say, an old law biker. His name was Odell Ash. You know what he was? He was one of the chosen. I could go on and on and on. I could go on and on and on. You know what's down at the end of that road called Street? That street called Straight? I'm going to tell you what's there, brethren. There's a chosen one. I think tonight I have to give you one more. And there was a man named Edward Kimball. Edward Kimball, you've known about him. He had a little Sunday school class in Mount Vernon Congregational Church in Massachusetts in 1855. Had a little boy come in there in April. And this little boy was a fat little boy, stuttered so bad. His clumsy as everything. And a little boy sat in the class. He didn't have a Bible with him coming to Sunday school class. And Edward Kimball gave him a Bible. They asked him to turn to the Gospel of John. And that little boy, he never had a Bible before. He started in Genesis, started going through there, trying to find John. And he was going all through that Bible, looking for the Gospel of John. And all the other students, they begin to laugh at him and make fun of him. This old dumb little old boy. Edward Kimball said about that little boy. Later on, here's what he said about that little boy. He said, I can truly say, and in saying it, I magnify the infinite grace of God as bestowed upon him, that I have seen few persons whose mind were spiritually darker than was when he came into my Sunday school class. This little old boy. But Edward Kimball had a burden for that little old boy. And Edward Kimball had hardly ever witnessed anybody in his life. And he decided to go to the place where that little boy worked, Brother Al. And that little boy worked as a shoe cobbler in a shoe store. And Edward Kimball, in his autobiography, I got it here, I could read it. But he walked up, he went up and down that store a few times before he could get up enough courage to go in there. He walked past it, confronting the Lord like we do. Lord, I don't know if I can go in there. And he says, Lord, I might embarrass that boy, Lord. I might not need to go in there. I might embarrass him. I might do more harm than good, Lord, if I go in there and try to... He kept walking up and down past that store. And finally, he went in that store. He just surrendered to the Lord. And he went in there and he found that little boy back here in the back. He is back there unpacking in some shoes, this little old boy that he felt sorry for. He said, I found this boy in the back of the store wrapping up shoes and paper and putting them on shelves. I went up to him and put my hand on his shoulder, and I was leaned over. I placed my foot upon a shoebox. Then I made my plea. And I feel there was a really weak one talking about his plan of salvation. I don't know just what words I used or what could. I simply told him of Jesus Christ's love for him and the love Christ wanted in return. And he said that was all there was to it. And he said that dumb little old boy, that clumsy little old boy, bowed his head that day and asked Jesus Christ to save him. Dwight L. Moody, probably the greatest evangelist that ever lived. Modern times, certainly. Dwight L. Moody. You know what that old boy did, old Edward Kimball? Despite what it looked like, despite like Ananias, he surrendered to the calling. He surrendered to the command of God. He went through the confrontation. He walked up in that thing, but he just surrendered. You know what God had there on the end of that street called Straight? He had a chosen one. You know what's at that street called Straight? God's chosen. Father, we pray your blessing now upon this day, Lord, upon this message, Lord, and upon this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story that you've given us here about Ananias, Lord. And I just scratched the surface, Lord. There's so much in here, Lord. And all the things that's in there and how you use this man, Ananias, just a normal guy. He's just a common old guy, Lord. But he loved you. He was devoted to the Word of God. He had a good testimony among the Jews. He was faithful, Lord God. And you used him. He was a certain disciple. And there was that calling. You called him, Lord. Not many mighty, not many noble. You called that just that disciple. And Lord, he confronted you. He argued with you a little bit like we do, Lord. He had that command, Lord, that couldn't understand, going there to Saul of Tarsus, the greatest persecutor of the Christian faith at that time, Lord. But Lord, he obeyed. He argued. But he went there, Lord. And my goodness, Lord, what happened? Lord, there was a chosen vessel. And one of the greatest Christian, maybe the greatest Christian ever lived, saved that day, Lord. Lord, help us. Help us to go in the street called straight, Lord. And Lord, put aside all of our thoughts and our desires and the things that we, Lord, that keep us from serving you and all the arguments. Like, help us to put them aside. Help us, as Paul said, I crucify with Christ, nevertheless I live. But yet not I live, but Christ that liveth in me. Help us, Lord, to crucify the flesh with affections and lusts thereof. Help us, to God. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Help us, Lord, to go in the street called straight. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that hope that we have this morning. Thank you, Lord, that I can get up every morning, God, and serve you. Go tell people about you. Thank you, Lord, this morning for giving me the Word of God that I can read it in the morning and just get so excited sometimes, Lord, I can hardly stand it, Lord, and just get transported to another world sometimes, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you for saving my soul 44 years ago now, Lord. Lord, I love you this morning, Father, and I pray even so come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.